Welcome to episode 945 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. 2 Corinthians contains some of the most powerful passages of Scripture. Here are some favorites. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul emphasizes God's comforting nature, referring to him as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He describes a cycle of comfort where God comforts believers in their troubles, enabling them to comfort others facing similar difficulties. It establishes a sense of community and shared resilience among Christians, indicating hardships can serve a divine purpose, equipping believers to support one another empathetically. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul identifies the Lord with the Spirit, emphasizing true freedom comes through the Spirit. This freedom is not about lawlessness, but about liberation from the law's condemnation and the inner transformation the Spirit brings. It's a theological statement that underscores the new covenant's nature of liberty and life, contrasting with the old covenant's emphasis on written codes and external compliance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Paul uses jars of clay to illustrate the fragility and ordinariness of human vessels compared to the surpassing power of the gospel they carry. This imagery humbles the bearer and exalts the divine message, suggesting human weakness highlights God's strength and ensures that God, not man, receives glory for the works effected through them. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul contrasts the temporary, visible afflictions with eternal, invisible glory to encourage us to focus on the eternal outcomes of our trials. He teaches that the hardships endured now are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits in eternity. This perspective helps us maintain hope and perseverance, viewing our current sufferings as momentary and light compared to the everlasting joy to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This verse underlines the essence of Christian life. It's lived based on trust in God and his promises, rather than reliance on visible, tangible circumstances. This principle calls us to a faith that transcends physical evidence, enabling us to trust in God's guidance and providence, even when the path may not be clear or the outcome certain. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This verse is a cornerstone in understanding Christian identity transformation. Anyone who is in Christ becomes a new creation. It signifies complete renewal, where past sins and failures are wiped away and a new life begins. This profound transformation is both a promise of redemption and a call to live this new identity in everyday life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul encapsulates the great exchange of the gospel. Christ took on sin and its consequences despite his sinlessness, so we could become the righteousness of God in him. This doctrine of justification by faith highlights the unmerited favor of God and the means by which we are made right with God through Christ's sacrificial death. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. In discussing generosity, Paul points to Christ's example, who relinquished his heavenly riches to embrace earthly poverty, enabling us to share in his spiritual riches. This verse not only urges Christians to be generous, but also serves as a profound reflection on the nature of Christ's incarnation and its implications for Christian giving and stewardship. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul discusses the principles of giving, emphasizing that it should be done willingly and cheerfully, not out of reluctance or obligation. This passage encourages a spirit of generosity that reflects God's own giving nature and promises that those who give generously will also reap generously, both materially and spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Paul describes spiritual warfare, asserting that though Christians live in the world, our strategies and weapons are not worldly, but divinely powerful for pulling down strongholds. This includes combating false ideologies and arguments against the knowledge of God, capturing every thought to make it obedient to Christ, highlighting the intellectual and moral dimensions of spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 14 to 15, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." These verses warn against false apostles who mimic the appearance of righteousness, akin to Satan's disguise as an angel of light. Paul's cautionary words remind us to discern and not be deceived by appearances, as the ultimate end of these false ministers will match their deceitful deeds. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" In this deeply personal reflection, Paul shares that God's power is made perfect in weakness, a principle that turns conventional wisdom on its head. God's response to Paul's plea for relief from his thorn in the flesh reveals that divine strength comes to the fore in human weakness, encouraging us to embrace our vulnerabilities as opportunities for God's power to be visibly manifested in our lives. These passages from 2 Corinthians highlight themes of comfort, resilience, transformation, generosity, and spiritual warfare, reflecting the depth and diversity of Paul's message to the Corinthian church. Some final notes about this book. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul mentions a mysterious thorn in the flesh that has been a subject of much speculation and debate among theologians and biblical scholars. Paul describes it as a messenger of Satan sent to torment him, which God refused to remove despite his prayers. The nature of this thorn, whether it was a physical ailment, a spiritual or emotional struggle, or persecution, remains one of the great unsolved biblical mysteries. Throughout 2 Corinthians, particularly in chapters 11 and 12, Paul engages in what he calls foolish boasting. This is unusual because it seems to contradict the humility typically advocated in Christian teachings. Paul uses this rhetorical technique to defend his apostleship against the so-called super apostles who were challenging his authority and boasting of their credentials. This boasting is both ironic and a teaching tool to highlight the value of weakness and suffering in Christian ministry. Yet, despite this alleged boasting, Paul openly discusses his vulnerabilities, hardships, and weaknesses. This is somewhat unusual for ancient writings where leaders typically projected strength and invulnerability. His candid discussion about struggles and even failures is both intriguing and controversial because it breaks from traditional Greco-Roman rhetorical styles that emphasized honor and strength. Paul's detailed instructions about the collection for the Jerusalem church reflect early Christian practices of mutual aid and the logistics of organizing such help across different communities. His focus on generosity, willingness, and the spiritual benefits of giving offers insights into the socioeconomic practices of the early church, and Paul's innovative approach to creating a unified, supportive community among the diverse churches. The passages from 2 Corinthians serve as profound reminders of the depth and richness of God's promises and the practical implications of living a life anchored in Christ. As we meditate on these verses, we are encouraged to embrace our weaknesses as opportunities for God's power to shine, to walk by faith and not by sight, and to engage in the spiritual warfare with the divine arsenal provided to us. Each scripture not only challenges us, but also comforts us, reminding us that we are continually being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another through the working of His Spirit. Father, thank you for the precious lessons in 2 Corinthians that teach us about your comforting presence, the freedom brought by your Spirit, and the transformation through Christ. Help us to internalize these truths deeply and live them out authentically, that we may be your faithful ambassadors, reflecting your grace and strength in our lives. May your sufficient grace be ever evident in our weaknesses as we strive to be more like Jesus each day. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.